Fear will not build a house we want to live in. Someone has to be the light. To be the light, you have to generate brilliance. Some actions lend themselves to this generation. Some actions are depleting. Today, we are going to talk about making antidotes, the process open to anyone who dreams of or who wants to put awareness and energy into a better future. It's a more the merrier kind of party. I hope it sparks a light.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition.
The day after the first election in which Donald T. was elected president in 2016, I had a vision. It came in so strongly and burned in my mind for days. The vision was thus. Darkness, like the midnight blue darkness of a night, not pitch black, was everywhere. This was the world, and amidst that darkness, I could see candles lit. At the moment when I first saw the vision, the morning of November 9th, 2016, there were few flames. Still, I could see them holding steady in the darkness, beacons to others, their light holding securely like the candle I held in my own hands. As this was just after the election news hit, I could tell that some of these candles were held by those who, like myself, had been able to feel what was coming. They had foresight. They understood by whatever means were natural to them, even a week prior to the election, that the world was hanging in a perilously unstable place and that this would not be resolved with votes tallied. Some of these candle holders were seers, like myself, and could feel and sense what was coming. Others were those who always held the light, no matter what was going on in the world. They were the monks, the nuns, the bodhisattvas, the Thich Nhat Hanhs, and the Desmond Tutus of this world. Some of them resided in faraway places and didn't have a lot of contact with others. And yet their job had always been and remained to hold the light. To me, it felt like those light holders had been doing this forever. Unlike myself, I knew that I had just flicked on my light the week prior. I had just lit my candle again. I also knew that this place I was seeing always existed. It was rarely glimpsed, at least by me. it was a place that I went to by my own secret back door, only in times when there was great unrest and strife in the world. Though it was dark, I could feel the comfort of being there. There was a richness and hope at seeing my fellow lightholders doing their part in steadiness. Holding their own candles were others with skills far greater than my own. But among us, there was an unwavering knowledge and commitment to do what we must. It didn't feel like we had been waiting for this time to come. It felt as though we wished it hadn't. But knowing it had, we, each of us, whether we resided there permanently or slipped through the back door to turn on our light, knew what to do and were doing it, as we had agreed. For me, it felt like calling on a skill that I hadn't needed to use for a very long time. It was an inside knowing of a skill so old, one that had been unseen and unneeded for a great while, but was now required. At the time of my vision, I had been holding my candle, as I think of it, for days, meditating as often as I could, 2 to 3 times a day, to gain and then hold a vibration of constancy and goodness, of light and strength. That morning, I also knew it was time to gently nudge my fellow vibration holders and shifters to make sure that those close to me were awake and luminous for this time. I sent out text messages that morning to my close friends and students, to those who I knew had the capacity to hold light. It went something like this. Now is the time to turn on your light. I wrote an article around then, especially for my empathic sisters, because I know that they have a special and particular offering that they can contribute in times like these. I could feel them all across the world, sitting in the darkness, holding their candles, a small but powerful light. And as I watched the vision, as the days went by, I saw how more lights were blazing on as the moments passed. Over time, instead of a darkness sparsely populated with light, the darkness had become more and more awash with golden white tiny flames. We are each of us a tiny flame that contributes remarkably to a world made of light, should we choose so. Just one alone is a lovely and powerful brilliance, but does not light up the whole world. But one by one, when we turn on our lights, those around us are better able to see their way, to see their light switch, their contribution to the whole. And so a vast luminosity is made. Looking back this almost a decade later, I see how much more luminous we all are. Hard things have happened, many, and yet each one of those has led another and then another to turn on their light, to become aware of the injustice in the world, and to hopefully become aware of our capacity to shift that. Today, we are going to talk about making antidotes. I am an antidote maker. I actually believe it is one of the reasons why I am here. And I say this because in times of great strife, my body begins to move in a way that is almost a compulsion, but a beneficent one. I mean, I'm in charge, but what happens feels more like these deeper truths arise within me, and no matter what societal chaos or anxiety is happening in the world, I start to act on these truths, and it honestly feels as though I must. Which is where the compulsion idea comes from. It's like I am already doing the thing almost before I realize it. The first time I ever remember this, doing this, was during the early 2000s. I was an environmentalist at the time. The Republicans had just won both the House and the presidency, and every day more laws and events were being put into place, which devastated the environmental community and the protections we were working toward. During this time, I began to notice a dark cloud hanging over my community. Under normal circumstances, this particular community has a high tolerance for being able to digest difficult things, fueled not only by their love of the earth, it is the very real issues that threaten this place that motivate their actions and drive their choices daily. They are like warriors for the planet. But at this time, I began to notice there was something bigger and far more devastating going on here. There was starting to be a depressing black-brown hue hanging over everyone I knew. And it wasn't just a flicker that could be transformed into something powerful by action. I noticed that it was actually beginning to diminish people, to dampen their lights on a very real level. Hope began to be extinguished and replaced with a powerless desperation, a feeling that everything they were working toward was for naught. I still remember clearly the moment I understood that I could no longer be exposed to the news. I was driving to work with my boyfriend at the time, an environmental lawyer, listening to NPR. We heard about one more terrible thing, one more law that had been repealed. And in that moment, I reached my tipping point. I knew that I could no longer hear this. "Turn it off right now," I said. I knew on an instinctual level that all of this information was for certain diminishing my light. I also knew that more than anything, what we all needed right now was light. For me, it wasn't a decision of choosing naivety because I felt very clear about what was happening. It was a decision of understanding for certain in the depths of my bones that in order to maintain my own energy base, and in order to contribute positively to my community, I needed to cut off my connection to this stream of terrible news. What had formerly helped fuel me had shifted into something that I could see was very negatively affecting me and everyone I knew. I also knew very clearly that, especially in my community, if I didn't provide the light, no one else would. They would and needed to continue listening to the news. In that moment, it became very black and white for me. I understood that I was making a bold but absolutely necessary choice for myself and others, one that may have been criticized by others, but one in which I was absolutely certain was right for me. I chose to maintain my focus on the positivity of what I was doing without polluting it with the negativity of what was happening around me. I knew very clearly that I could not stop the events that were happening in Washington. I knew very clearly that I would have no hand in mitigating those particular scenes. And I knew that experiencing the powerlessness that came from this witnessing and knowing that on a daily and practically hourly level was depleting my own energy base. So I shut off the news and turned my attention back to what I was doing. It helped me regain my focus. It's helped me maintain that ever since. In that moment, in the car, I knew I had reached my limit. I was no longer able to take in this information and remain true to and be effective at what I was doing. Though I've long since given up on my official Earth Warrior position, that choice has remained true for me. Keeping a clear space, one that is not constantly polluted by the many terrible events that happen in the world, actually helps me do what I am here to do. I turned off the news and didn't look back. Instead, I turned selectively toward those who share my values and who are also providing information on what I can do to help. What I felt then is what I still feel now. Fear will not build a house we want to live in. Someone has to be the light. To be the light, you have to generate brilliance. Some actions lend themselves to this generation. Some actions are depleting. Paying attention to this in your own life will start to show you your wide open path to brilliance. And in the last two episodes, number 80 and 81, I've already talked about two vital practices to begin this process inside yourself: meditation and exercise. The process of turning yourself into a light. I love this quote by Anne Lamott. She says, "Lighthouses don't go running all over an island looking for boats to save. They just stand there shining." I'm telling you these stories from my own life because right now we are building a future together. Author and mythologist Michael Mead said something to me a few months ago. I was telling him about my work turning toward change makers and why it feels so important to me that more and more people listen to their inner knowing. The shortest answer is that intuition works at lightning speed. It's the fastest way to get solutions, especially if people aren't wasting time doubting it. I was mentioning to him my internal sense that solutions exist. And I think that we're forgetting that now because we're getting so caught up in the junk show. And he said something like, "Yes, change doesn't require every single person to get the message. A small number can turn the tide." In a text exchange I had with Michael the other day, he said, "The core idea is that a great renaissance or change of culture must begin in individual souls. Life changes from the inside out. When enough people experience an inner transformation, a change at the collective society can begin to take shape." So today we are talking about an inner transformation that allows us to change shape and reshape the whole. To build a bright future, we need the right ingredients. And today I wanted to start talking about making antidotes. And if you just joined us on the radio, this is Aimé Cartier, and you are listening to the Intuition for Changemakers show. So this idea of making antidotes may continue into a series over the next few podcasts. But let's talk about the ingredients that I use to start building antidotes. Anyone can do this. Being a changemaker is not an elite club. It is an open door where you are met with a friendly smile and gratitude by those who are already in the room. The others, holding their flames, acknowledge you with a nod of welcome. Sometimes being a changemaker means daring to have a vision and following through with that when the world is in upheaval and when it's not. Sometimes it means something bold. Sometimes contributing to the whole means something quiet but meaningful all the same. Every step toward a future you would be proud to be a part of benefits the whole, no matter how small the step. In a world awash in fear and the feeling of powerlessness, kindness of any size matters. So, building antidotes. Let's think about what we are focusing on right now. Usually for me, the first step in building an antidote is recognizing where we are. One example I can give is from the 2016 Clinton-Trump election. A few days prior to this election, I recognized that the world, the U.S. especially, was in an extremely volatile and unstable place. I first sensed this by noticing the experience in my own body, as many empathic people will. I was getting ready for work, gathering the things I gather every day to come down to my studio, write and see clients and students, my tea, my quart jar with water, my calendar, my computer. I was standing in my kitchen and I found myself so distracted, I couldn't remember what to do next. I also understood that what was happening for me was very unlike me and that there was nothing in my life to create this erratic shift in thoughts and emotions that I was having. I knew what I brought to my studio every day. I wasn't usually distracted. I understood that I was picking up the global vibe. When I got to my studio, I sat in my meditation spot and did a thorough assessment. What am I feeling? What is going on here? The response came immediately. The world feels unstable. I could see that the election results, which were as of yet unknown, as the election was still days away, were not going to settle things either. Understanding this, intentionally, I immediately started doing what I could to create the antidote inside myself. My goal was to create a veritable marble pillar of stability and calm within me. I did it through the most effective means I know, meditation, a lot of meditation, because I could feel that the world needed stabilizing, connection to deep self, harmony, and a solid understanding and experience of calm and ease, no matter the circumstances or outcome of the election. And that is what I chose to establish on purpose in my own body. I added two additional medicine. I added two additional meditation sessions per day. I set alarms in my phone so that in addition to my usual morning practice, I would also remember to meditate around noon and in the evening. I wanted to be able to broadcast this notion wherever I was, whether I was at the grocery store, buying groceries, in my home, connecting with people online, or sitting in a movie theater. At a certain point after the election, when people were still digesting the results, I also knew that I needed to turn off the stream of information that I was getting from outside, social media feeds, etc. In order to continue to create the antidote, I needed to shut off the information coming in yet again. I had to quite literally stop listening to the voices of fear, anger, hopelessness, and division that were coming from everywhere so that I could create and maintain my antidote. During this time, I went to the movies. When I entered the theater, the trailers had already started and the room was dark. I couldn't see who was on the other end of the row I sat in, nor could they see me. When the movie was finished, as soon as the lights came on, I heard the woman on the other end of the row gasp and say, "It's you! Of course it's you!" She happened to be one of my empath students at the time. Then she said, "I was dying to know who had sat down after the lights went down. You are like a breath of fresh air." She was empathic, and my vibration was strong. So of course, even in the dark, her senses picked up the energetic vibe loud and clear. Her comment in that moment was how I understood that even from another's perspective, I had achieved what I had set out to do, to provide an antidote in those uncertain times that felt scary and perilous for many. I allowed myself, I purposely became a neutralizing agent for a collective experience that I understood was happening for many. I feel certain that I was not the only one doing this. I already shared with you the vision I had that day after the election. I could see and feel the activation of a network of light bearers. The more candles in an area, the wider the circle of light. And yet, even far apart, we were all connected. This is something you can choose to do whenever you wish. This is Aimé Cartier. And again, if you just joined us on the radio, you are listening to the Intuition for Changemakers show, and we are talking today about creating antidotes. So, in antidote making, after you ascertain what is happening, you ascertain what you would like to happen, or the antidote to the trouble you feel. Like I did in 2016 when I felt the world is unstable. We need stability. So in this vital time in history, where we are witnessing just a lot of craziness, a power grab, a desperate attempt at a patchwork job that is on a system that's not working anyway, hyper-capitalism, I heard someone call it, patriarchy, guns in schools, different shunned instead of welcomed communities, marginalized instead of cared for, government systems and workers that support many people, like air traffic controllers, one example, being asked to leave, planes crashing. I could go on here. You know I can. What does this all feel like to you? Find some words for it. Whatever you see in your scene. Chaos and greed come to my mind. You pinpoint what it feels like to you. Looking at what you know, what you see, what you feel. Then, and this is important, instead of focusing on the dumpster fire that we are witnessing right now, as I heard a mentor of mine named Rachel Cook put it the other day, the dumpster fire. The next step is taking the time instead to focus your mind on the kind of future you would like to see. You can't get somewhere if you don't know where you are going. Putting out the dumpster fire isn't going to create a better future. And personally, I am helpless in many of those specific avenues. I can support people who are in a position to help that, but I am not a lawmaker. But I am not helpless, and neither are you. I am absolutely capable of creating calm and caring and loving others as antidotes for the words that I just identified of what it feels like to me. To facilitate you making your discovery for your antidote, here are some questions that I encourage you to ask. What is the best future I could possibly imagine? What does it look like specifically? How does it feel? What do I and those I care about feel while in this future? What future vision would you hold in your heart? Start there. Get specific. Community gardens in low-income neighborhoods, affordable health care for all, higher living wages, whatever it is in your heart about the future you would like to create. If you've got time or want to make time on a Saturday morning, you could even map it out, draw it, list it, dream of the future that you would like to exist. Dream of the country that you would like to exist and be a part of. Draw pictures. Make it fun for yourself and inviting. Make it your prayer. Then, when you know the place you want to go, you start making antidotes. Turning away from the dumpster fire, start to look at how you could provide even one or more of those qualities in your future, in your best future. How could you exemplify this in your life? What is one thing you can do to help this? Maybe your first work is building stability in yourself. That's fantastic and a great and noble place to start. Those around you will benefit. Like that woman saying, "Who is that breath of fresh air?" You can create a fresh breeze within yourself to add to the mix of chaos. Maybe you would like to spontaneously make dinner for a mother who you know could use a break, or a marginalized member of your community, or deliver them a gift card to a restaurant, or just, you know, do something kind and out of the blue for someone. Send a card that tells them they matter and that you are on their side and that they are not alone and that they could call on you, that you are an ally should they need it. Being a force of good can be done in so many ways. Maybe you want to take one small or many small or big actions depending on your current capacity. Actions that exemplify the future you want. The change coming from within first. Something I started doing recently, inspired by the story that one of my students told our solutionary circle, is tithing. I am putting aside 10% of every dollar I make, and at the end of the month or sometime during the month, I gift it to a cause or an organization that exemplifies the future I want to live in, one that is working for something I too believe in. Something about having this money already set aside, the same way that I take out 20% of every dollar I make for business expenses and a certain percentage for taxes, etc., has just been so freeing and lovely to me. It feels like I'm making a difference just by making more money. And it feels super easy to have it bookmarked for sending. It creates a system that requires little thought. And systems are golden in my book. They are the natural way. I heard AOC, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, mention recently that her team is printing Know Your Rights cards for immigrants and citizens and immigrants who are frightened of being taken by ICE. The information depicts certain truths, like that a judicial warrant must be issued for an arrest or detainment to be legal. It encourages you to require that before you comply. You don't have to open the door. Also, that anyone has a right to a lawyer and that you can ask for that no matter what your citizenship is. She has cards and flyers on her website that you can print out and hand to businesses to put up. I'll put a link in the show notes if you feel called to pass these out or spread the word. It's just one of so many examples that you could do, we could all do, to create a better future. Something that feels caring. The possibility of actions for creating the future you want to live in instead of the one that others are trying to patch job together are endless. If you can identify one part of this society which you think needs help making change, you are already identifying people who work within that system who are probably overloaded. What might you do to add kindness, to show you care? I'm just throwing out possibilities in order to mix the inspiration pot. We have many hands stirring the fear pot right now, and I don't think that pot is useful anyway. So I'm coming from a different angle here, hopefully a regenerative one. Here's the thing. We had a forerunner to this moment. We are no longer blindsided by it like we might have been in 2016. Many lights have already turned on. In fact, just after I wrote this podcast, a current student of mine shared a very similar version she had of the world and being one of the lights. She didn't know about the story I already told you just a bit ago. She was just sharing this vision with our circle. We are many. We can be a grain of sand that clogs the wheels of those trying to create a future that doesn't support the whole. We can create antidotes within ourselves and let them amplify and spread. We don't have to just sit back and shrug and say, well, that's the way it is now. In fact, I suggest that if you care about creating a different future, that's about the last thing you want to be doing, is sitting back and shrugging your shoulders. Maybe it means that you sit in meditation several times a day and no one else ever knows, except that when you walk into the places that you go, people experience you as a breath of fresh air. Who can't use a breath of fresh air right now? To be an antidote maker, you will likely have to turn away from being completely sucked into the crap show of the media and spend time generating the remedy. To transfigure, we have to imagine big and act small. Okay, to sum up Antidote Making 101, ask yourself, what is happening? Ask yourself, what would I rather happen? What future What does a future that I care about look like? What would I lend a hand to creating? What is one or more thing that I can do right now to help create, to help embody that future? do that thing. Do that thing again or another. Allow the doing to be your own self-healing balm for a feeling of helplessness. What I am doing with you right now is building a compendium, a ladder for each of us, a rung by rung experience that will allow us to build a future we are super down with. So if episode 80 inspired you to sit for meditation, I am so glad. We are here together. If episode 81 inspired you to get on your walking shoes and start exercising, I am so glad. We are here together, building a future where we exist in stability despite what is going on around us, where we are creating stability in spite of and as an antidote to what is around us, where we are caring for each other despite what others say. You are not limited by my ideas. You've got your own good ones too. And there are many, many people, many leaders in this world and organizations you can turn to who also have good ideas and could use help. Please reach out if you want to share any of your personal antidote-making actions. I would love to hear them. You can actually send the show a text message on your podcast platform. I know it works on Apple Podcasts, and that text message will make its way to me. If you're on my email list, you can reply to any email I've ever sent you. I'm also on Blue Sky Social, but to be honest, I'm really hardly on social media right now at all. So you can also tell us in a review of the show on your podcast platform and spread the word. What antidotes are you making and how are you doing it? Friends, you are not alone. We can do this. We will remain lit and keep growing. Don't turn off the lights. We are here together. All my love. This is Aimee Cartier. Thank you for listening. If you are keen to use your personalized best guidance for you sense, otherwise known as your intuition, personally, I think the first place to start is by being able to recognize your intuition, by being able to let go of those myths that hold you back from listening to it, like I need a reason, or I can't see where this is going, so I'm not going to follow through. Most of the time, your intuition does not give you the big picture, but that doesn't mean you should be ignoring all of those bright ideas that get you to your bright future. If you want a place to start, my How Do I Know If It's My Intuition self-study course is a great and easy place to start. My Solutionaries program is not open yet this year, stay tuned, but I do take one-on-one students also if you are serious about having a specialized plan to augment your intuition. You can find all the details on my website, aimeecartier.com, and for the self-study course, aimeecartier.com/nointuition.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.